Thank you. So why is it that ESPN never asked me to pick up that helmet?
Oh, I don't know, Bob, but I'm just happy that linebacker that knocked out the door off that car didn't take me out.
Yeah, well, you look pretty good, actually, so, and you look great in that tape. Thank you very
much. Well, thanks, Bob. You know, the consumer experience really actually starts with content, which is why we're really so delighted to have you here today. The Disney brand has a phenomenal and special place in America, and we look forward to hearing your thoughts today. And now, take it away. The floor is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Iger.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you. Good afternoon. It is great to be here at CES in Las Vegas. Now, since the day Walt Disney started this company, Disney has had one secret to its success, and that is bringing the timelessness of great characters and powerful storytelling to the timeliness of the cutting edge. From the multi-plane camera that reinvented animation in 1942 to the mega gigahertz processing of computer animation of today, Disney is a company where art challenges technology and technology inspires art. Artists are constantly seeking new ways to fulfill their creative visions, and technology provides them the tools to scale new imaginative heights. Today, technology empowers the consumer more than ever before, and we use it to deliver quality content in the most convenient and in the most timely way possible to every screen within reach and at a price that makes it a genuine value. We are witnessing an explosion of media, and Disney is both reaping the benefits of that explosion and also acting as a catalyst for that explosion by taking a technology-friendly approach. I'm proud to say we were the first company to put movies and TV shows on iTunes, helping to accelerate a consumer revolution. As suppliers of some of the best branded and highest quality content in the world, we both create and we satisfy demand. And that takes us to so many of the fantastic devices you'll find on display here at CES, from MP3 players to Blu-ray players and HD TVs. And speaking of HDTV, we as a company provide more hours of high-definition programming than anyone else. Disney is a brand like no one else. It stands for high-quality entertainment that consumers enjoy, look for, and trust. And in this crowded digital world, that trust is never more important. Technological advances provide us tremendous opportunities to engage the consumer with more depth and breadth in a more convenient and personal way. You think about a sports fan watching highlights of an NBA game on ESPN 360 while keeping an eye on Monday Night Football, or a group of friends swapping gossip about Grey's Anatomy on ABC.com, or even a young woman in Seoul, Korea, watching Desperate Housewives on her 3G cell phone as she commutes to work. We're making it possible to find and enjoy great content quickly and easily. And getting the balance right between convenience and pricing is a challenge that is facing all of us who create and distribute content in this digital world, especially where piracy is concerned. And from my perspective, the best way to combat piracy is to bring content to market on a well-timed, well-priced basis. Now, at Disney, we've taken major steps in that direction, making our products available on nearly every electronic device. In fact, through iTunes, DisneyChannel.com, and ABC.com, our TV shows, our movies, and our Disney animated shorts have been played or downloaded over 120 million times, expanding our audience and growing our business. One of the most important steps we took this past year was our acquisition of the Pixar Animation Studios. As many of you know, Pixar pioneered 3D technology and artistry to create blockbuster films that became instant classics and revolutionized animation. Now, its latest movie, Ratatouille, is from Brad Bird, who's the director of The Incredibles. Quick, shameless plug, save the date. Ratatouille premieres on June 29th in a theater near you. Now let me turn to ABC, where creativity and technology have also merged to create a worldwide phenomenon called Lost. Now, Lost has not only found a large audience on ABC, but an unusually engaged audience. And we have taken every opportunity to leverage that powerful enthusiasm to create the most successful multi-platform program ever. In fact, Lost was one of the first series that was offered on iTunes, and it's still going strong. ABC.com has been jam-packed with traffic from fans who come to download interactive podcasts, contribute their thoughts and theories to a wiki, or just watch the full episode we make available the next day. Lost episodes can be downloaded directly to cell phones almost anywhere in the world, perhaps even on a desert island. Stars of Lost, Evangeline Lilly and Matthew Fox.
I was right, they are dead sexy.
Dead sexy, that's a pretty good line. So, that tape revealed nothing. And I've got you on stage maybe to pry just a little bit more out of you. But let me start by asking a question which I think is fairly interesting. Given the fact that Lost is available in so many ways and enables the audience to engage with the program in ways that we never imagined would be possible just years back, you have a much more committed, much more engaged audience. Does that change things? As actors in the show, I mean, do people feel like they want to know more about you? They know more? Is it
absolutely
a different experience?
It's definitely like nothing I've ever experienced. And you know, the amount of people that come up to you, how interested they are in the show, how much it means to them. And also you have them tell you a lot of times that the show is not so much about the 43 minutes that you spend watching it. It's about the time two or three days after that, or even longer than that sometimes, where they're interacting with people that they watch the show with, or their family and friends, or going on the internet. And the show really stimulates their imagination, which you know, makes them think, and they theorize and hypothesize, and that makes them pretty intense about their feelings about where they want the show to go, what it's doing right now. So it's fun.
And a result of those intense feelings, it has changed in that they have a lot more control over the show than we do as actors, which in the history of television, I think actors on television have generally taken a part in deciding the storyline and what their characters would do and where they would go. And we're at the mercy of the fans. Our producers are constantly going online and checking out what the fans want and the questions that they're asking, and they really try hard to answer those, and then they tell us to shut up and sit down and do our job.
All right, so talk about answering questions. A lot of talk and Lost about the others. Mm-hmm. Let's reveal a little bit here. Who are the others? What are the others? I watch the show. I don't go into chat rooms, but
we know who they are, but we can't tell you. I mean, you know, there's...
If we told you, we'd have to kill you.
So you're in season 3.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intrigue already about your relationship. Do you two end up together? Maybe a little bit from that angle.
I think eventually that probably happens. I mean, you know, obviously that the Jack and Sawyer and Kate triangle has been going on for some time on the show. And because of the circumstances of the show this fall and where they find themselves, it seems that the Kate and Sawyer story is sort of going to continue. But I think in the end it'll be the Jack and Kate thing.
Being that it is an interactive show, let's put it to the audience. What do you guys think? Should I get together with this guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, there we go. I actually went back in my ABC programming days. I had a show called Moonlighting on, and we let those characters get together, and that was the end of the series.
Right.
I don't know. I hate to frustrate the two of you, but it's going to be a while. Anyway, thanks. I know Lost comes back on the air February 7th.
That's
You're
right.
Back to Hawaii to continue shooting the third season. I really appreciate you coming.
Thank you
all
for having
here
us.
To Vegas to CES, and good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for all that information.
Thank you.
Matthew Fox of Andrew Miller. if you think viewers are hooked on Lost, that's nothing compared to people tuning in to ESPN. I mean, sports fans are fanatics, hence the name, fan fanatics. Now, these insatiable enthusiasts demand to be plugged into instantaneous information from any place, anytime, through any device they own. ESPN, in other words, has demonstrated that sports is a killer app for consumer electronics. And with a front row seat to the NBA, Major League Baseball, NASCAR, the Rose Bowl, World Cup Soccer, and the NFL, avid sports fans come to the multiple platforms of ESPN. So joining me now is a well-known sports and technology fanatic. Please welcome the host of Monday Night Football in HD, Mike Tirico. Mike?
Hi. Thank you. Hello,
Mike.
Bob.
How are you? Welcome.
Thank you. It is great to be here with the NFL playoffs starting and the regular season ended. I have Monday nights totally free, so thanks for the invite.
Well, you look good in HD, by the way. Oh. Very well-deserved time off, by the way. Congratulations on what was a remarkable season of Monday Night Football by just about any way you want to measure it. But my favorite measurement is this, and that is not only did Monday Night Football reach record audiences every Monday night on ESPN, but ESPN.com averaged 25 million page views on Monday. That's quite a statistic.
A great, great number. And that came right out of our playbook. We call it Monday Night Football Surround. And the idea was really to provide football fans the scope of the online content, Bob, that they would only expect to see for Super Bowl Sunday, really.
And that's right. And in Bristol, Connecticut, we have built a state-of-the-art epicenter of sports production, engineering, and digital media, rivaled in scope and sophistication, perhaps only by NASA and NORAD. Well, maybe.
But when you see it, you can feel
it. It cost a lot of money, I know that.
It certainly did. And it's vibrating now because this is a Monday, and that means Big Monday on ESPN. That means basketball fans are watching tonight's Big East matchup between rivals Villanova and Georgetown happening in Washington, D.C.
Well, in fact, they just tipped off. It's Big Monday here in Las Vegas, too. And now, for the first time ever at CES, we're taking you live to a game that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. Just started.
It's an important game for Villanova. They've lost their first two Big East games.
I would not have known. I haven't been on ESPN.com all day.
Well, Bob, you know that this game, or parts of it, are going to be consumed in so many ways on so many platforms. You have computers, TVs in high definition, PDAs, mobile phones, and iPods as well.
And, of course, the appetite for sports coverage does not stop at our borders. Not only can ESPN bring the game here to CES, but look where else fans are enjoying this game live, starting with ESPN in Israel, for instance. And ESPN, you can't tell it's in Israel, ESPN Dose Service in Mexico and Latin America. They're watching it too.
And Bieber.
Our ESPN channel in Australia. Our ESPN network that serves India and China. Big Georgetown fans there in India. And our ESPN network serving North and South Africa. So fans in 102 countries on six continents can watch this game right now. And the global distribution of ESPN is not only wide, it is also increasingly deep. More and more people are watching ESPN in high definition. In fact, sports fans are leading the charge among all consumers in the transition to LCD and plasma TVs.
Sports looks great in HD, and in the coming year, ESPN HD and ESPN 2 HD are going to show more than 7,000 hours and more than 700 events in high definition. Now, there are other platforms to discuss, like ESPNRadio.com. I don't know if you know this, it's the most listened to online sports radio destination, has more than 20 free original podcasts each week. And here's a quick one about this game. Georgetown Villanova.
They've achieved up to their potential, perhaps as well as any team, and has found ways to win. So
that's one of our college basketball analysts, Jay Billis, giving folks a preview and some background on tonight's game. And then we have the cell phone, ESPN's WAP, or Wireless Application Protocol, gets 8 million unique visitors monthly who are treated to unique content. We've got fans exactly where they want to be. surrounded in sports on every platform within eyeshot and arm's reach.
Okay, so now let's switch from the handheld back to the laptop and check in on the big game on the ESPN.com site. And with its array of proprietary technology, stats, and features, ESPN.com has become the number one domestic sports site on the web. And here's the college basketball front page with a live update of the game that we've been watching. So let's see who the fans across the country think are going to win this game. Sports Nation on ESPN started asking the question this morning. Looks like
Georgetown.
53% say Georgetown.
Yep.
Okay. Now we can actually click on the state of Nevada just to see what people here in this state think about the game and who's going to win. Pretty close, 63-37.
There's one Villanova holdout up there in North Dakota.
I guess so. Now, here's another cool feature of ESPN.com that's one of my favorites, and that is the new My ESPN personalized page. So let me show all of you My ESPN, actually Bob Iger's ESPN page that I customized. Now, I'm a Yankee fan. Now, they haven't won a World Series since 2000. Okay, I think maybe they got a good season coming up. But you want to see an exercise in frustration and futility. I'm also a New York Giants fan, so if you scroll down, you can read all about the game they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday.
Right.
Good game, though, decided in the last few seconds by the wrong team. I'm a Packers fan. They didn't have a great season. Brett Favre's probably going to retire. I'm a Knicks fan. It gets even worse. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll find the Lakers because I live in Los Angeles. But basically what I've done is I've customized the page. I'm a big sports fan, worked at ABC Sports for 13 years, big sports fan. I've customized my page so that when I go to ESPN, I go to My ESPN all the time, and I can see scores and stats of my teams first and read a story or two about the players that I'm tracking or most interested in, get up-to-date information about it, as well as information about all kinds of other sports on ESPN. It's a great feature.
Yeah, all the headlines are there in the middle. So you could actually put a winning team up at the top if you wanted to pick me up in the morning.
I'm hoping. Okay. I think maybe I'm just going to customize it to teams that are in first place.
That's all you can do.
That I like going online.
Well, I want to go back to our broadband product for a second. That's ESPN 360. It's where it all comes together, everything we've shown you, featuring a proprietary online video player and access to what's really the web's best sports video library. That Villanova-Georgetown game we were talking about is being simulcast live on ESPN 360, and that's available to more than 15 million homes. So they're in a break in that game right now. So when they come out of that break, people will be able to watch it on their computer. In fact, ESPN 360 featured more than 200 live events just like that in 2006 alone, and ESPN 360 goes deeper. When college basketball fans want to know how Georgetown is doing this year, they want to know about Patrick Ewing's son. The great legendary Georgetown player's son now plays there. They can get all the previews and analysis from ESPN commentators at ESPN's 360 site.
Now, you talked about ESPN 360 being in 15 million homes. It's in a lot of offices, too. I watched a lot of World Cup games in my office when I wasn't worrying about other things at the Walt Disney Company. Pretty good feature. Now, let's take a quick look back to the game and the score for those of you in Vegas with a keen interest. And remember, the money that you lose in Vegas stays in Vegas. Thank you very much. Mike Tirico, that was great. I appreciate it.
Bob, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks. So now we've showed you a taste of Pixar and its next film. We've given you a sense of what we're doing at ABC through the program Lost, and we've given you an overall sense of what we're doing from a multi-platform perspective at ESPN, which I think is incredibly, incredibly compelling. And now we're going to take a look at what we're doing at the Disney brand. You know, we have a pretty successful Disney.com site that is actually the leader in online family usage. But the site is basically a site map for all things Disney. And as we look at the world, we see an explosion of personal media experiences. A driving force behind this most successful movie is one of the most successful movie producers in Hollywood. And someone also is a man behind many, many hit television shows. So please welcome my good friend, Jerry Bruckheimer. Jerry, welcome.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
So before we talk about pirates, you walked the floor of CES this afternoon, and as a person who's creating all these great movies over the years and so many great TV shows today, How do you feel about it? You see it, you go back to Hollywood and think differently? Does it change your perspective in any way? And what did you see today that really impressed you?
Well, it scared me because the array of screens and devices and storages that are coming up is going to make my job a lot harder. It's going to have to be much better. The visuals are going to have to be better. The clarity is amazing. Blu-ray is a theater experience, which we love watching today.
So we've shot and actually had in the marketplace Pirates 1 and 2, two epic, very successful movies. And I know we've been hard at work at Pirates 3, which is getting close to concluding its production. Give us a little sense for where things stand with Pirates 3.
Well, tomorrow I go to Hawaii where we're filming the last sequence in Pirates, and I'll clue you in on a little known fact, which I think everybody speculated, who's going to be in the third Pirates. And Keith Richards is going to be in the third Pirates. So he has finished filming, and he will be there.
Does he play the guitar, though? That's the question.
Well, you have to see the movie to see that.
So you got to show us something, a little taste. You know, we obviously were blown away by the way Pirates 1 and Pirates 2 looked. Can we see a little bit of Pirates 3? Obviously, well, this is just a setup, because everybody knows you've got the video.
Having seen the third one, I just want to tell you the first two were an hors d'oeuvre for this one, which we're going to show you a little bit of.
An hors d'oeuvre?
An hors d'oeuvre.
So an hors d'oeuvre is $1.05 billion movie, right?
Small.
So I'm thinking now, if that's an hors d'oeuvre, maybe Pirates 3 is the entree.
It is. It's
all right.
Enjoy it.
Jerry and I were talking a little bit about Pirates 3. He mentioned something about an attempt to wipe out piracy, which got my attention, by the way. Many have tried.
Yes, and our villain is going to try to wipe out our pirates, but hopefully you'll wipe out piracy.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much,
Jerry.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
So, for obvious reasons, you can see that I am very enthusiastic about the great things that we're doing and where technology is taking the Walt Disney Company. And so much of what you have just seen is experienced over a new medium that barely existed a decade ago, but now is capable of capturing all of the excitement, all of the emotion of Disney's great entertainment content. And our history of bringing our storytelling and our roster of characters to the frontiers of technology is unrivaled. And since the day Mickey dared to speak in a talkie, Disney has boldly taken its content to the cutting edge. Wherever the path of unfolding technologies and imaginative new platforms may lead, Disney will be there. And so this afternoon, I am here to reinforce the importance of our powerful partnership. Because year in and year out, we are proud to bring our creative content to your innovative products. And I really appreciate the opportunity to bring a little bit of Disney to this great stage. So thank you very much for your time. I hope you enjoyed the footage. Enjoy CES. Thank you. Thanks.